From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan, or on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, December 8th. I'm your host, Andy Klein. Thanks for joining the conversation. Coming up, will we get used to a lot of dripping and a lot of dropping here in the Tonga's rainforest? But now the Drip Drop Wonder Shop provides the perfect space to escape the dreary and celebrate vivacious beauty. We'll talk to the new shop's owner, artist Natalie. Then a new childcare is opening in Juneau. We'll hear about the Bible-based new pre-K. And a race across Alaska starts this winter solstice. We'll talk to the organizers. And Guns and Oses, eh? A hockey fundraiser from fire and police associations. That's all ahead today. I hope you'll join me. In the weather, rain and snow mixed in the forecast through the weekend, with rain predicted to start next week.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khana khaya ha an kakh gnil chish.
Well, the Drip Drop Wonder Shop is now open. What an exciting, fun name. And artist Natalie is the proprietor of the shop. Natalie,
hi.
So good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm an online fan of your work, and I know the Alaska Robotics guys who moved out of that spot, and you moved into the spot. So it's right down there on Franklin.
Yes.
Right by the cinema and all that kind of little area there.
Yeah, we're at 220 Front Street.
Front Street. Sorry, not yeah. Franklin. Front Street.
Right where Alaska Robotics used to be. And it's cool because it was an artsy creative space that became an artsy creative space, but totally transformed and definitely something to see.
Yeah. So you're an artist.
I am.
And then is this a shop? I think this shop reflects your artwork, your ethics, your ideas about what you want to express in art, but also you bring in other artists as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's everything that I've made and, you know, whatever I will make. So it's kind of a launch pad for my own creativity, but also a place for collaboration and like featuring artists that are local and non-local, things that I think people need to see. So it's basically everything that I think is cool, which is kind of exciting to have your own shop, especially as an artist who has been hustling so hard from pop-up to pop-up. And then now I have a store/gallery.
It's a big step.
It's a big step, but I am one of those people, a very overly ambitious person and overly confident. And I just do it.
Or maybe you're just the right confidence.
Yeah.
Maybe just right for what you can get done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I guess I just keep proving to myself that I can do things.
Yeah.
And it's cool to give, you know, as an artist who's constantly looking for a space to show their work, you know, it's cool to be able to offer that to other people too. So, it's a curated space, so it has to like float my boat.
How did you get over the, you know, kind of get over the mark of saying, okay, I know I can do it. Did you kind of, collaborate and sign in with other artists that you knew would be sort of anchor tenants, so to speak, of the shop? Or is it, or how did
I,
you?
There's some local artists that I like, I adore, and I wanted them in the store. Rebecca Shea, you know, her colors are so vibrant. She does a lot of feminist work, and I wanted her there. And, you know, I just have a lot of, I really have a lot of creative friends, and I wanted to work with them. But it really was mostly like what I'm looking for is like, I want it to be a place with art that is maybe not commonly seen in other Juno stores. You know, maybe I have a First Friday artist, Zach Pease, and he's, doing a really cool collection of hand-painted clothing. And he's also doing a live improvisational set. So he's really cool. And I'm excited to see what he does.
I'm a longtime fan of Zach Pease.
Yeah.
Good buddy of mine. And yeah, longtime fan of his.
So he'll be popping up January 5th.
Cool.
So I want it to be this creative place, but it is also more than that. You know, it's a place where I can move past like the limits of a pop-up. So
yeah, that's that kind of hustle just seems like it takes so much energy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And it's so much energy to the point that like I popped up for Public Market, which was crazy because I had signed up for Public Market way ahead of time. And then I had to open my store on Gallery Walk. So
that was good. Good. You got to promo it. You know, you got to tell people about your shop and stuff. I'm sure a lot of people stopped by because they had heard about that you were going to open it there at Public
Gallery Walk was crazy. It was super open. It was super poppin'. And going there the next day, being like, oh yeah, I have to go to work. Like, oh yeah, I have to open my shop. Cause it wasn't just like something that you do one time.
Right.
It was like going back there and having it. It's really inspiring place to be. I'm really excited to have space there and space in this community because it just makes me want to keep making more work.
Well, tell me about this. So when you walked into that space, when it's still Alaska Robotics, how did you envision? Did you sort of look at it and go, I know this wall can come out. I know that, or did you just?
No, I just know that like I'm good at making things look good. So I just knew that like the space was there. It was available. It was a great location, you know, and I was just like,
yeah,
I didn't even care that the ceiling was black. I was like, I'm painting it, not
so,
black.
So what have you done to this space? For folks who have only been in there since it was Alaska Robotics, like how would you describe the transformation?
It's really uplifting. It's there's a blue ceiling like the sky. We have floating ceiling installations made by Frenchie's Floral.
Kind of cloud based.
They're like in the shape of clouds.
And I saw for Gallery Walk such an amazing view of people doing, I would only describe it as some sort of form of light sculpture,
yes,
light art.
We had a light installation done by a group in Juneau called Ripple Rhythm, and it's a duo, Mike and Izzy. They play with oil and water to create live projection, and they move it manually with the beat of the music. It's unlike anything I've seen in Juneau. I want that to be what Drip Drop is about, is like bringing like life and bringing art and bringing, you know, soul to, you know, and it is already here. Like Juneau is such a thriving arts community. And I just want to bring like maybe the things that we haven't had yet. I mean, for me, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with my work. I do a lot of,
I am. Yeah. It's beautiful, beautiful work. Yeah.
Thank you.
Love it. And I love the wall painting that you did that's featured on online that I've seen is incredible.
Oh, my.
Over the brick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We installed the brick that wasn't there before.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's new brick.
There's new brick.
And then painted over.
And I did a mural. That's the biggest painting I've ever made, ever. So,
and on brick, which must not be the easiest, right?
No,
it's not smooth.
It wasn't easy, but it wasn't like, it was cool. I love it so much. I come see it, please. But it's really cool.
Well, how would you describe? I mean, you have a great artist statement that you provided
that,
to us. But how would you describe your artwork? How would you describe to someone who's never seen it? What are you trying to portray there?
I think that so. I started making my art to change my mind about how I viewed myself, how I viewed other people. And, you know, I make a lot of nude feminine forms that are larger bodied or, you know, fat.
Soft and round
soft
is sort of
round.
How you describe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not afraid to use the word fat because people use the word skinny. And they don't have negative connotations with it. So when I say the word fat, it's just an adjective. These soft fat nudes. And they are sexy and they are sensual and they are very alive and just existing. And
they're also just vibrant and fun. And
yeah.
joyous and those kinds of things. Those are the feelings I get
joyous.
When I see them.
There's a lot of drip drop, you know, there's a lot of tears in my work.
Yeah, I
saw
that, right.
It's mostly, that's about the what my art is.
But
is
connecting
about
to the environment almost, right? In a way, or...
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted
you.
You go ahead. Yeah.
You're okay. You're saying things that matter. No, that's on point. But it's, I look at nature as a mirror. I look at nature and I don't question it. I don't question the size of the mountain. I don't question, you know, how much it rains in Juneau. It just does. And we choose to live here, right? But when I look at myself, I am so critical, or have been in the past, of myself and other people. Like, oh, God, they're so emotional. Oh, my God, they're so moody. Oh, my God. Like, can you, like, or like, wow, I wish my pants fit, or whatever the hell. Sorry. Whatever.
Well, just that judgmental streak that we all
the self-critic, fight, but it's not, you know? Even the self. Yeah. It's like whatever we've consumed by other people's narratives, and that we've just created our own. We think it's our own brain, but it's really just social conditioning of what we're supposed to be as human beings. And basically, my work is an escape from that. It's you can be whatever you want. You can be as emotional as you want. You can be as sensual as you want. You can be as big as you want. You're as big as the universe. There's space for you. There, like, we don't say that there's constantly people in my life, at least from people who I love, you know, telling me to get smaller, and not just in my shape, not just in my body, but in, I'm a really passionate, really emotional person.
People saying, calm down.
Calm down. Yeah. And it's like,
those kinds of things.
And it's
right.
Like, it's like people are just uncomfortable with people who are free in themselves. They're just uncomfortable with it because it's something that they've not yet tapped into. So, or like, you know, like, in all ways, in all realms, my work is about free, like being free to exist without saying sorry, without apologizing for the space you take.
I like how you say the sun exists without having to apologize for existing, right?
I think
you never
question it. I think I say the sun is hot and we don't question it. The mountain is big and we don't question it. So why do I
does not apologize for being so vast and ever changing. The sun does not apologize for shining so bright and being so hot. I see my truest reflection, and I too refuse to apologize for being vast, ever changing, bright and hot. Yeah. I love that artist statement.
Yeah.
I appended it a little bit there, but but that was
go
really good.
It.
It's really cool.
Whatever,
well,
you had to do for radio.
And it's so exciting, Natalie, to just know that you've got this space that's your space that you have complete.
It's a really whimsical space. I think it's really good for all ages. I really love when kids go in there. They look at my art, even though there's nudes, and they look at it with such a literal like way, like, wow, she's a mountain. Wow, so colorful. Like, they're just so pure. And like, this is a way for them to experience this kind of content in a way that's open and positive representation versus other places that they can find it and develop. Basically, just being open with people of all ages, people who have never seen this, and they're elderly, and they have had these concepts about themselves and other people, and they walk in and they're like, yeah, to be honest, this is like making me think a little bit, but it's still beautiful, but it makes me feel weird. But I'm like, and I just tell them, I'm like, yeah, come in whenever you want. If you want to have a mental breakdown and figure out your whole life, like, I have space for you to do that. Cause like, we all just, when we can make space for ourselves and these ideas, we can be kinder to other people and accept more people. And yeah.
Are you gearing up for the holidays in any special ways? Or I mean, you've just opened, so I'm sure it's just like, okay, just keep the doors open.
It's going to be an ever celebratory space of being alive. I personally, as much as I think Christmas is magical and beautiful and I love all the lights, I don't personally celebrate it. That's just not in my culture. So, but I love it. And I am so excited to go to a friend's and who's going to invite me.
And the shopping season. I mean, it's important for shops.
Oh, it's such a great place to shop for gifts. I have like there's art, you know, but there's also, it's accessible art. So, you know, you can buy a $3 sticker, a $4 sticker, as an accessible art, or you can buy, you know, there's also a huge gallery wall. So you can buy a, you know, $2,000 painting. So we have a huge range of items from wearable art. Yeah. So it's
from
really
a stocking stuffer to a wall hanging.
No, I mean, whatever is like, whatever you need, you know, like, but there's wearable art, and then other artists that I really like that are not local doing work that is, you know, femme and also nature-y, but just things that speak to my heart.
Things that inspire you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like they all, like, it just really goes all well together. And I really like fashion, especially growing up younger and in a larger body and only being able to shop at, like, you know, the Macy's, like, you know, women's section, and having to dress like a 70-year-old, like, woman right. when I was in, like, you know, when I was 13 years old. Right. So I really like being able to create my own fashion that is, you know, sizing fluid. And like, I'm really into accessories, because when I would go into those places with my friends, like, oh, well, that doesn't fit, but I'm going to get a cute pair of earrings. So started making my own earrings. So there's like lots of really great statement apparel and a way to express yourself and experience art via fashion.
Well, Natalie, it's so cool to just be able to talk to you here at the very beginning of this shop owning journey.
I know, it's so exciting.
And if you happen to be in the Front Street area and you see a bright light,
it's
go
me.
Towards the light. Because it's the Drip Drop Wonder Shop. You walk in and you're not in dreary Juno anymore. You're in bright, shining, happy, beautiful, fluorescent colored Juno. It's really an incredible experience. So artist Natalie, thanks
so
much.
It's
a happy place, and you have created it. So congratulations on
making that step happen. Oh, thank you. I've had a lot of help, and I just am very grateful for the community for continually supporting my work, and also for you giving me this space right now
absolutely.
To speak.
We've been trying to get you in here, but you've been so busy. So, So thank you so much for making time.
I'm gonna put my sunglasses on. So
in your busy schedule, artist Natalie, it's Drip Drop Wonder Shop. What's the address one more time?
It's 220 Front Street.
220 Front
in
Street.
In downtown Juneau.
Where the bright, beautiful, colorful lights are shining. It's the Drip Drop Wonder Shop. Natalie, thanks so much.
Where your dreams come true.
Great talking to you. Right. Thank you,
Andy.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. You know, KTOO turns 50 this January. It's hard to believe, but we're marking this milestone by celebrating you, the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juno for 5 decades. As part of our celebrations, we'd love to hear how KTOO impacts you. So we're looking for audio submissions that are up to 60 to 90 seconds in length that share your thoughts, memories, your driveway moments, personal stories, all those things about the station that we can use on the air. So submit your story by recording your message on your smartphone, and then you email it to junoafternoon@kto.org. There's instructions for getting good audio that can be found on our homepage at kto.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Well, coming up next, we're going to be talking to Nikki Romine, and she's from the Juno Adventist Christian School Child Care, which is a brand new pre-K school that's opening up right now. And Nikki, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. We're excited.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I read on your website, that you were excited to be able to offer a new service, and one that obviously something that is talked about a lot. Child care is just needed in Juno desperately.
It absolutely is, for sure, which is why we ended up doing this for our school.
Yeah, you've come out of retirement, haven't you?
Yes, I did.
So tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, this is year 29 for me. So I've taught everything from pre-KK in Dillingham, Alaska, to high school in Texas. And here in Juno, I've been since 2002 teaching kinder through 8 at our elementary school
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which elementary school?
Juneau Adventist Christian School.
Oh, okay. Yes. And so, and now is this associated with that, or is it?
It is indeed. Okay. Yes.
So, go ahead. Yeah. Tell me about that association.
So we had a year out. Okay. We had a variety of reasons. So, in this year, what happened was we did some renovations, and we decided as a church and as a board that, hey, you know what? There is this huge unmet need here.
Yeah.
And they chose to go ahead and open a pre-KK. So we have been very, very busy over the summer and fall months getting licensed. So we are a state licensed program, which means that you can get assistance for tuition. Mm-hmm. We're also tuition ready for Tlingit Haida. So those who need some assistance can do that. And
wow,
we are
great.
Thrilled.
Yeah. And what's the facility like? Tell me about that. It must be kind of exciting that you're opening this
It is.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful gift given to us by having a mission group come, and they emptied everything out into our gym, and they did a wonderful job of repainting for us. So it's all nice and spanking beautiful now for us, okay?
Great, yeah.
And we have two large classrooms, a beautiful carpeted gym, okay?
Nice.
That has been there. The building has been there since 1965, and the program had been moving all along since then,
mm-hmm.
okay?
It's yeah.
been a very, very busy school.
Yeah. So what's the capacity?
Our capacity for the pre-KK program this year, you get to choose your max capacity, which is 20.
Okay.
But for this year, we're capping at 13.
Okay. But there's still space.
There is still space, and we would love to hear, you know, where that's what we're asking. If you want a place, you need to give us a jingle so those slots fill rapidly.
Right,
so
right.
Give us a call, and you need to give me a call. My number is 907-957-0226.
And tell me about, like, what can people expect as far as the curriculum goes, or what's the day look like
yes.
for the students?
Well, there's typically within a daycare center, you have time for your circle time before that, because
snack
we're
snack time, of course.
Yeah, well, oh, I mean, absolutely.
That was I remember so well, snack time.
Absolutely. But we are, of course, a Christian-based program. Our program is called Creation Kids, which gives a wonderful opportunity for them to explore all kinds of things. We get to explore nature. We get to explore art. We get to explore our wonderful, wonderful environment around the school. All kinds of things for science, for culture. They have lots of opportunities to grow and learn.
So circle time, does that kind of start the day?
That starts the day, and that actually comes right after worship.
Okay.
Of course, denominationally based. So you would have time for the kids to talk about the things that are on their heart, and we get to have a short time of worship and prayer, and then we have circle time where they share what's going on with them.
Oh, okay. I see. That circle time is a sharing kind of time.
It is a sharing time.
Not super structured, but
exactly.
Yeah,
they get to sit on the floor in front of me, and we get to talk back and forth about the things that are on their brains.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
What's been happening
That's
with
great.
Them?
Yeah. And then what? Then snack time.
You're in a hurry to get there, I tell you.
I always remember.
Actually, we go to what we call centers, and then we have some instructional time.
And is that kind of age-based, those centers?
Actually, it's for all of them, but they're met at their own level, okay? Because mm-hmm. you have kids ages 3 to 5 at the beginning of the year. So if they turn 6, that's fine. But each student is met on their own level. Mm-hmm. For example, if you have a 4 or 5 year old who is advanced, you can expect them to have harder work.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you recognize that you have a student who is struggling with things they don't have, of course, you back up.
Mm-hmm.
You meet them where they are.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Great. So.
And so, and then, okay, so that's after circle time, then that's that subject time.
Right.
And then what happens? Is this, is it, am I asking too much, too far ahead?
No.
Okay.
No,
so then what?
Well,
I want to know the day. What's happening?
Well, I should have brought the full
the
schedule with me.
Well, we don't
I
have
tell
to.
You.
If we skip something, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you have time in there, of course, for activities like for recess. You have time for PE. You have time for snacks.
Snacks, okay.
Absolutely. Okay.
Those little
and you have
chewy
lunch
fruit
time.
Things sometimes.
There you go. Oh,
oh
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah, you hey.
Man.
Most of the time, though, however, we ask that the parents send their snacks because oftentimes parents know best what the kids do or don't eat.
Sure, yeah.
As well as it helps take care in advance of anything that they might be possibly allergic to.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
So we do that. And then, of course, in the afternoon, they have time for downtime. There's time for stories. There's time for exploring culture. They have all kinds of things that we do.
Yeah, that's great. What are the hours of the...
Our hours are 7:30 to 4:30. That's when I unlock the door, okay? And 4:30 is when I lock it.
Okay, so you have to pick up before 4:30.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. I know that there are sometimes that can be a little bit of a squish. If it's longer than 15 minutes, they can expect a charge.
Okay. So that's, yeah, and that's just something that daycares are and preschools are often doing. Yeah,
right.
That's fine.
And they can generally give us a jingle to let us know how they're running.
So. Right. But then is it, and then I noticed that on Friday, it's like kind of a half day on Friday.
It is indeed.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So it goes till noon.
Goes till noon.
Yeah.
Yep. Monday through Thursday, 7:30 to 4:30.
And then this is across from the Pioneer Home. Kind of in that area, is that
actually,
right?
It's in the area, but we're more, if you look across, there's a little Coast Guard station's
right.
house. It's more directly across from that.
Okay.
It's right in that corner up against the hill.
That north side of Twin Lakes near Vanderbilt Road there.
Yes. As you turn from Vanderbilt onto Old Glacier, it's right there on the left.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, that's great to know. Well, Nikki, it's so exciting that this, as you said, a resource that people are, you know, been talking about for years in Juneau, just being short and to be able to provide that is great and coming out of retirement to do it. But you can see in how you discuss it, how much you love doing it and how much you love the children that you teach.
I love kids. I really do. It blows me away. I think back on my very first students were high schoolers in Texas. They just turned 50.
I was going to say.
Sorry.
Right.
And some of my very first students here now have 3 or 4 children.
Sure, they might.
You know,
they
so
might well
like,
have kids showing up at your new preschool.
They do.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I've already seen a few of them go through our school while I was retired. There's a few that have already gone through, and it kind of blows my mind.
Well, that's the life of a teacher, and that's the thing, of course, that you want the most is to see your kids grow up, be happy adults with their own families.
It is indeed
right.
Yes.
Well, Nikki, thanks so much again. Once again, it's the Juneau Adventist Christian School Child Care, and it's still accepting children. So if you're interested, you can go to, I guess the website is one place you can get more information, right? Which is juneauak.adventistschoolconnect.org.
Yes. However, rather than do an email from there, please do email me.
Okay.
Okay. Personally, my personal email is nlinder311@gmail.com.
And that's nlinder311@gmail.com. And again, your phone number, 907-957-0226.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, I'm sure people are going to be calling. I'm sure that those two rooms will fill up pretty
I'm
quick.
Looking forward to
yeah,
it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about it. And good luck with school.
Thank you. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity.
Absolutely. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein. And next, we're going to be talking about something that sounds, I mean, a little crazy, but we're going to get the good explanation for it here. Starting on winter solstice, there's a race across Alaska. And with me now, joining us on Zoom, is Heather Helzer, who's the owner and coach at Turnagain Training and one of the organizers. And also, Marita Weed is with us here, who's a race ambassador here in Juneau. Marita, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, no problem.
Good to see you. And Heather, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we hear you loud and clear, so that's great. Heather, tell me a little bit about it. People hear race across Alaska. Sure, let's start that December 21st. That sounds like a good idea. So tell me a little bit about what's behind it. And it's a virtual race across Alaska, we should explain.
It is, yeah. I started the virtual race across Alaska 4 years ago. It was thought through during COVID. Was sick of races getting continuously canceled and needed something to kind of get through those winter blues over the winter, and dreamt up the race across Alaska. There are 8 distances to the race. They vary from 60 miles all the way to 2,000 miles. So anything from a casual walker that's just looking to get a mile in a day, all the way to a super competitive cyclist that would typically be an indoor cyclist, does the 2,000 miles, which is Anchorage to Dead Horse.
I was joking. You know, first one to Dead Horse wins, but that is really potentially what could happen.
Yeah. Our longest racer has actually raced 5,000 miles. So incredible to see. It's incredible to see all of the different dynamics of athletes that we have. From our oldest athlete is 95 years old.
Wow. The idea that I was just going to say that the fact that it's virtual and that you can kind of do it in the way that works for you allows for that diversity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My mother-in-law is 75. She had never done a race in her life. She grew up in the era where women didn't do athletics. And so she had never done a race until 4 years ago. And she joined us and she loves it. And she does the 235 miles and it allows her to get out in Ohio and do her rail trail. And it encourages her to get out on her bike more often. But she sticks to her 3 miles a day. And, you know, it's super cool to see the wide range of athletes from people that are just looking to get in shape for mental health, for physical activity, for family togetherness. My family, I have a 5 and a 7-year-old that do the 60-mile race, and they just will ride with me on their indoor bike for a couple of minutes every night, or we go for a walk in the snow. So, you know, it's for all walks of life. But our biggest, most popular age range is between 40 and 59. So it's a lot different than your typical race, because it allows for like a lifestyle, yeah. Like you do what you want.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, sorry to interrupt.
I was going to say, Marita, we wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people that I talk to get stuck on the word race and they put up this wall. And I think people should focus on challenge, because you're not racing against really anyone else unless you want to. Like, you can start a competitive team and get that going.
Or a non-competitive team. That would be my...
Yeah, and that's what I want. I'm on a non-competitive team. Like, let's just get out there. And the focus is on challenge. Like,
I think people in Juneau are kind of used, you know, the Klondike and the thing, mm-hmm, the fun, mm-hmm. You know, there's the people that are competitive.
Exactly.
And then there's the people who are... Yeah. Majority of the people are there to have fun.
Yeah. And if you're looking, you know, one of the ways that I have used the rice in the past is to just keep in shape during the winter months. Like, I don't want to start training for the Klondike right. in April or May or June or July. Like, I want to make sure that I have a base. And so in past years, like, I've used this to kind of make sure I have a base over the winter time.
Right. Yeah. That keeps you, that keeps injuries down and all that kind of stuff. Plus it just allows you to actually get it done. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing. Well, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, Heather, is one thing that's really awesome about races is, you know, you show up and everyone's there together and you get this sense of community. So how do you try to keep that sense of community and foster that doing the virtual race?
Yeah. So the cool thing about a race is the swag you get when you sign up. We mail your shirt to you. We mail your shirt, but you also get a hat. And it's super cool because all of us Alaskans, we love to wear our hats, right? And so it's a really cool way to like see people in the community and you see these hats and you're like, hey, you're doing it too. And like, I mean, we're talking like I'm driving and I see somebody and I feel compelled to unroll the window, you know?
That's great.
It's so fun. It's so fun. In Juneau, you have 67 people signed up for the Race Across Alaska. In Anchorage, we have 550 people signed up right now. You know, it's a ton of people and everybody loves to wear their hat for those 3 months and show the camaraderie. But also our social media page is super alive. We have a private Facebook group. When you sign up, it includes the link in the sign up register in the confirmation page.
No and, trolls allowed. I mean, I'm just guessing.
No trolls allowed. I do my homework every day and make sure that you're actually signed up. And during the race, we have somewhere between 30 and 50 people post a day. And it's so cool because like there's days, you know, where it's crappy and rainy and everything's a sheet of ice and you just don't want to go out. And then you see this like person in Fairbanks covered in frost, you know, and you're like, right.
The Fairbanksans really always have it, you know, they have. Someone in a beard with all that stuff. Oh, man.
Yeah. Or even like the 95-year-old that competes. You're like, I really don't want to go do my walk. And you'll check and you'll see that she's, you know, done her mile.
Gives you a little bit of like, okay, I better go do it.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about the nonprofit partners and kind of it's an amazing amount of people that have registered. So then what's sort of the goal of what you're doing?
Yeah. So every racer that signs up, $10 of their entry goes to a nonprofit. Our three nonprofit partners this year are Alaska Trails, Challenge Alaska, and Nordic Skiing Association of Anchorage. So you get to pick as a racer which you want to put it your $10 towards, or you can split it between all three. And then on top of it, racers can make additional donations to our nonprofits. Already for this year, we've raised $35,000. So cool. And the goals of our donation to those nonprofits is to just support physical activity in the state of Alaska and to see it continuing forward. And, you know, the Alaska Trails is a really big goal, is the developing of the Alaska Long Trail from Seward to Fairbanks. Challenge Alaska is really passionate about just getting people physically active that are physically disabled, visual disabilities, any kinds of disabilities they are advocates for. And then Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage is a huge advocate all across the state of Alaska for skiing, cross-country skiing, and just making our communities more aware of what opportunities are available.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just such an it's such a key and vital thing to living in Alaska, right? Making sure you're exercising, getting out there, doing it, and then it becomes such a part of the lifestyle. I mean, I mentioned the Klondike, but all the different races that happen through the years, Nordic, the buckwheat, all the stuff that happens through the years. Those are Southeast that I'm talking about, right? But of course, in Anchorage and in Fairbanks, there's all these other ones that have, you know, equal, if not more amazing histories and competitions.
Yeah. And I would just want to say our nonprofits. So this is the first year that we've branched out and added new nonprofits. In the past 3 years, it was just Alaska Trails. And we're trying something new this year and wanted to just see if it stuck, if people liked it or not. So we'll listen to the surveys. But if your community has a nonprofit that really fits with our challenge, I'd love for people to reach out and to, you know, just to hear more voices. Like, yeah. It's not just Anchorage, like it's about the whole state of Alaska. So,
yeah, that's really cool. Well, Marita, tell me a little bit about those of us since we're here in Juneau. Mm-hmm. This doesn't start until the 21st. So it sounds like there's still time to get registered. Definitely. And get involved. So tell me about how that would happen.
So you get onto the website. It's RAAWC. Race Across Alaska Winter Challenge. You can sign up them there. You can pick a distance. And I will say the distance is just your goal. If you don't, you know, if you don't get to your distance, that's okay. If you get over your distance, that's also okay. The medal that you get at the end is for the longest distance that you traveled. So say you signed up just to go to Anchorage to Whittier and you made it all the way from Anchorage to Delta Junction, that medal will reflect.
You medal up.
It doesn't reflect what challenge you signed up for.
I love it. Everyone's a winner.
Exactly. if you want to, from there, once you sign up, there's a registration fee. And you can pick, again, when you go through the process, you can pick one or all of the nonprofits to donate to. And then also I have a discount code.
I saw that. There's like a coupon code, a QR code that you can additional $5 off the registration fee.
Which is ACBAY. A is capitalized, ACBAY. B is capitalized, 2024.
Okay.
And then from there, you can join an existing team. You can start a team of your own if that's what you want to do.
Can you join in with a team? Like maybe you don't know them, but you can virtually join in and say, I want to be on your team kind of thing.
Yeah. And once you're on Facebook, there's a couple different groups that have said, hey, come join my team. I have Team Honey Badger, but I also know there's a Juneau You Want To out there as well.
Both excellent names.
Exactly.
I like it.
And then once the 21st starts, you get on to the website and you log your miles. So if you're familiar with doing the walk across Southeast Alaska that happens here in the summer, it's kind of a similar process of logging on and then putting your miles in.
Well, it's the virtual Race Across Alaska. Starts December 21st. It's really easy to register. www.raawc.com is where you go. Find out more information about it. Heather, thanks so much for joining us remotely there, and have a good race. Are you going to go to Dead Horse?
Not this year. I did that the first year. I can't do it again.
That was enough.
I'm going to say 100 mile race this year.
Okay. Well, very good. And then what's your goal?
I am going to Denali this year.
Wow. How many miles is that?
It's 800. No.
Oh, that's the loop. That's the Denali loop. Okay.
Yeah, 235. I'm not biking this year. So that's a good running walking.
That's a lot of running. So. Yeah, that's a lot. But you've got till March to get it done. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Keep on track. You know what? I'm just going to bet that you get to Delta Junction.
We'll see.
I think you're going to get to Delta Junction. That's my prediction. No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure, but I'm just thinking that's what's going to happen. Well, thanks to both you, Marita and Heather. Thanks again for joining us. The virtual Race Across Alaska is happening December 21st, and you've got plenty of time to still sign up for it. www.raawc.com. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, coming up next, Guns and Hoses, eh? Okay. Not hosers, hoses. No. All right. This is the Capital City chapter of the Alaska Police Officers Association, and they're going to be joining up with the Firefighters Association, and that's the guns and that's the hoses, and it's a hockey game, all for that. So tell me a little bit about it, Kurt. Harvey is with us. Kurt Stage Harvey is with us here. And Kurt, tell us a little bit about it.
Right on. Hey, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it. And yeah, Alaska Peace Officers Association, we have a local chapter called Capital City Chapter, and we're kind of a fraternal, philanthropic, educational kind of organization that's all volunteer run. And so we have a lot of different law enforcement agencies represented here in Juneau. And we have operating costs. And so some of those to help cover that, we have these fancy Guns and Hoses hockey. Jake Thayer, who's here, he's a dispatcher with JPD. He's the manager of our the JPD law enforcement team, which includes AST and some other folks. And we're going to have a big to-do on Saturday, December 30th. Down at the rink, we're gonna have a family skate for an hour, 5 to 6, and then
It's gonna get real.
Oh, it's gonna get real.
All right, yeah.
Last year was a blast. it was fun to see. We have a trophy at stake.
So everyone, I mean, just I worry for you guys.
It's friendly.
A little for both. I'm not saying I worry for you guys over the firefight. I worry for both teams. is what I'm saying. But well, hockey stays friendly, stays non-contact, quote unquote, as much.
It gets competitive.
It gets competitive.
I'm not a skater. Jake kind of runs the team. And
I think anyone who's ever played hockey knows that there's a natural violent element to it, but it's controlled. And I mean,
there's a beautiful element. It's amazing. The skating, I wonder at it every time I go to the rink and watch a team. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. But boy, there's every now and then there's a collision.
We keep it very civil. You know, we are all competitive. We're there to win, but at the end of the day, you know, we're there for a good purpose and to have fun. And so,
and Elijah, are you going to be skating? You're going to be playing or?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So we're here on two different things.
Okay.
Because tomorrow's Shop with a Cop.
Oh.
So that's one of the big things.
Tell me about that.
Right on.
Yeah.
So that's also hosted by the Alaska Peace Officers Association. And Elijah has helped me for years be my helper elf. And we're going to take, Annie, tomorrow we're going to take.
He loves that title. I can tell.
Helper elf? Yeah. I got a Santa hat.
My favorite
hat
thing.
For
Thanks,
too.
Dad.
49 kids tomorrow. We're going to take shopping. And Fred Meyer is an incredible partner for us.
That's really
they
cool.
give us 20% on all our purchases. It's an amazing time. We have all these kids are nominated by schools, families, social service agencies that could really use help with this Christmas, or they're struggling in lots of different areas. And so we pair them with law enforcement officers, and we have like 7 different agencies involved, all paired with these kids. And we take them shopping, lights and sirens parade. Santa's going to be there. It's just such a big to do.
That's cool. And it's such a great way for kids to kind of know a law enforcement officer and get to just hang out and, you know, do something with them. That's
absolutely
just a fun, cool thing to do.
Yeah. More positive interaction than they might have had otherwise.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, back to hockey. How many years has this been going on? Do you know?
Jake, do you know?
I guess what I'm getting at is what's the
off.
I know the Guns and Hoses tradition. I mean, that's been around, I think, since hockey was invented.
Yeah, sure. It's a natural.
Guys, I want to say the New York departments, I think they just had like 100th anniversary
or something. Oh, man, that's amazing.
So the tradition's been around forever.
I'm trying to think of the trophy, because there's a trophy.
Yeah.
So law enforcement won last year, the guns
this
won.
This is what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is, what's the record? I mean,
I honestly don't know.
Is this a rubber match this time?
It's pretty even.
It's
back and forth.
I would guess it's pretty even.
And
right?
There's always you always have what they call ringers, right?
Yeah, sure.
So
I got a buddy. He's on the force
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Yeah. Honorary. We give him a little stick on badge.
Give him an Elvis bat. Yeah.
No, law enforcement won last year, but the hoses won the year before, so it is back and forth.
Okay.
I'm trying to imagine the trophy, what is around there, but we've only been getting a trophy for a few years. And then, of course, COVID was there, so we missed a few.
Is it a cup?
It is a cup.
It's got to be a cup.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah,
very
family
good.
Friendly event, though. So
okay. Yes.
Empty cup.
Well, it's really cool. So tell me a little bit about, I know you're doing the Shop with the Cop thing. That's awesome. But the fundraiser is a fundraiser. Tell me about the associations that it's fundraising for.
Yeah, no, it's the hockey thing is just to help to support the work of the Alaska Peace Officers Association. So we bring training to town for law enforcement agencies. We do the torch run for Special Olympics. We do the police memorial down here at Evergreen Park. We do a Guns and Hoses softball tournament for a Special Olympics. And we have scholarships, too, that we fund for high school kids going into law enforcement.
Yeah, I think it's just important for people to know that this association You know, it just helps all these different nonprofits and does great work.
Yeah,
you know?
Shop of the Cop is one of the hugest events we have.
Yeah, so. Yeah, really cool. Well, you're the one, you're skating tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but is it 30th. Tomorrow?
On the 30th.
30th, sorry. It's happening on the 30th.
Yes.
It's from 5 to 7 p.m. on the 30th. We should mention that so people can go check it out. There's chili and drinks for a donation. There's a 50-50 raffle happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. As it says here on the poster, a trophy is at stake. I like to say it's a cup. I mean, it's a cup. and 20 bucks per family is a suggested entry fee. That's kind of, it seems completely reasonable, right? Yeah. A super fun time had by all. Don't get hurt out there, man.
You know, this will be my...
Don't hurt anyone else either. Come on.
This will be my fifth one, my third one here in Juneau. I'm originally from Fairbanks. And I did a couple there and I've been on both sides of it, been on the fire side, the police side, back and forth. And I've only had two teeth replaced from it. So my record's pretty good.
That is not a good endorsement, man.
My record's pretty good. And it was a complete accident. It was nothing, no one, it was nothing mean or nothing, but.
No jersey pulled over the head, none of that.
Nope, nothing, there's nothing like that. You know, again, we keep it civil and everything like that because we all. Now,
do you also skate like in the league or is this just, are you just weekend warrioring this once a year?
I used to work and family and all the other stuff.
Stretch out for 15 minutes and go get on the ice.
Pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh,
but it's like,
recipe.
It's like riding a bike though.
Well, a dangerous bike with blades on the end.
You got a few razors on your feet, but no, it's good. And like I said, I mean,
other people are riding bikes right at you.
And at the end of the day, we all have to go to work the next day.
Yeah, right.
You know? And so, and we all know that.
No
you
one's
know?
Trying
and
to hurt anyone else.
No, it's very, you know, we work closely with each other, especially being a small town. We all know each other and it's competitive, but at the end of the day, you know.
I'm sure in some ways it's a super fun thing that ends up bringing you guys kind of more camaraderie.
There's bragging
two.
Rights yeah, with it. Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not feel good taking the trophy from the softball tournament to them,
okay.
But I was very happy to receive the cup from them last year and
good.
Give it away.
Well, there you go.
But
all
it
right.
is all friendly.
Well, it's Guns and Hoses. That event's happening Saturday, December 30th. It's from 5 to 7 p.m., of course, at the ice rink over at Treadwell Arena, and it's $20 suggested entry fee. Lots of fun stuff going on, including chili and drinks and all that kind of stuff, and the trophies at stake. And then Shop of the Cop is happening tomorrow as well, and just a couple of the many events that the Alaska Peace Officers Association puts
on. So Fred Meyer, 10 a.m. to noon. It's going to be full of kids, so
sounds
just
good.
Beware.
All right, and that's it for Juneau Afternoon for today. Thanks for joining us from KTOO FM.